What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
I like Sonny. I just met him out there.
He's so much nicer in person, isn't he?
Yeah. He's like such a dad. Like such a, like a bear.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Like a grizzly.
Look at that guy, Steiny. Look at him.
Oh, hi, boys.
Willard in black. Boy. I love it. What a
It's not black, but a lot of men are colorblind. It's okay, Goo.
It's a deep olive.
Yeah, it's a deep. I'm wearing the Olive Garden.
There you go.
I'm taking the tour of Italy today.
No breadsticks, though, unfortunately.
Not yet.
It'd be a lot cooler if you had
They're
some.
On the way.
Yeah, no doubt.
Willard
yeah.
and Dibs joining us from the Madden studio.
Yeah.
We miss him dearly.
I do.
Explain to me exactly where you guys are.
Okay, so the one way to answer that would be Pleasanton, California.
All right.
Correct.
That's one way to answer it.
Yep.
The other way to answer it, and there are many, is we are, first of all, we're out here for an event, and you're going to hear in less than a half hour from our guy Stan Bunger, who has authored a new book called Mornings with Madden. Dibs told you guys about that yesterday. This is a book launch party, among other things. But here's what I think our listeners would find really cool. We are what looks like from the outside at your just run-of-the-mill business park in Pleasanton, California.
Okay.
When you come inside, you realize that this has been a tailor-made John Madden compound where he and his family used to have weekly Sunday parties, and still do, by the way, obviously John no longer with us, to watch football. And that's it. And it is a huge compound, and it has all kinds of memorabilia, and the stage that they've set up, and the pictures that they have for the crowd that will be gathering for the presentation with Stan and Steve Mariucci and John's son, Joe. Sally.
John's
John
son.
John's son. Right, so anyway,
Joe Madden.
This setup
Joe
is
Madden.
Really, really cool. And not to be self-serving, but when you describe something like that, I'd like to invite our listeners to see what it looks like. It is on, I did a little walk with me on my Instagram story.
Uh-oh.
So you can go to MT Willard and look at what it looks like inside and what John created for his family to sit and watch football together.
Wow, yes. That's pretty cool.
And if you talk about like a man cave, and Steiny, you know, you and I know Dana's man cave, and it's one of the great man caves in the East Bay. Take that man cave and times it by about 350,
wow.
And you get John Madden's quote-unquote man cave with giant theater screens and every game
and
seating for 200 and studios to where you can, you know, produce content. And we actually are upstairs in the boardroom, which is a legitimate 16-seat boardroom.
Boardroom, yeah.
Multiple whiteboards and TV screens.
Wow.
So you could do whatever you wanted to do here in Pleasanton, in the John Madden official, non-official compound.
So that'll be on Willard's IG. I'll be able to see that, Dibs, on Willard, on your walkthrough there.
It's already there.
I can't wait, man. Because the other day, my good friend 49er Frankie got mad at us on the crossover. Me, I guess Steiny asked you, Willard, what'd you watch last night, baseball or the football game? And this guy has four screens in his living room next to the big one with the theater chair. So he gets mad, like, everybody should watch it all. I'm like, dude, nobody has 80,000 TVs like you.
Well,
Madden has it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you could watch every sport and have some left over. But
right.
No, actually, I agree with 49er Frankie to a degree. Normally, I wouldn't do an either-or Sunday night football and a major baseball game. But the spot where I do the Fox show on Sunday during that hour, that spot only has one TV, plus we're still locked in on football.
Gotcha.
But I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm not above moving TVs around the house so that we can create a living room sports bar. Not at all.
Did you guys catch any of the Kyle Shanahan press conference?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we did.
What stuck out, if anything? Because I was hard-pressed to find something.
Well, for me, it was four letters, and it was PTSD, and it was, you know, the idea of him still going through that PTSD, and, you know, also what he talked about you know, on fourth and one and stuff, and how, you know, fourth and one is the hardest thing to defend, and, you know, that play where Mahomes runs the read option and Bosa crashes, and then, you know, next thing you know, Mahomes able to move the chains and all the rest of it. And so the idea of the PTSD of that game for me was striking, because Kyle Shanahan will never be over that. Even when they win this game, if they win this game, they don't get over that loss. And, you know, we're going to get into the Josh Dubow AP stat that he tweeted out about Kyle Shanahan's record in one-score games and where it ranks all-time among coaches who've had 40 or more games with one score or more. Mm. But this game for me is not about the monkey off the back. This one is maybe getting the sea monkey off the back, which is a tiny microscopic sea animal. This one for me is about getting right for the Niners, showing that you have turned the year around and doing things to Spagnuolo's defense that you were unable to do the last couple of times.
Dibs. Did you have sea monkeys?
No, never did. You know, Steiny, I grew up, yes, I grew up in Marin, but you know, I grew up very, very poor, and the only pets we had were outside the house. They were either feral cats or rattlesnakes. We were not allowed pets, and, you know, my siblings thought that I was the pet, and they treated me like a redheaded stepchild, so I never actually had pets. I don't get pets.
Gotcha. Yeah. We were talking about this game earlier and you know, must win, not must win, all those kind of things. The reason that, I mean, to me, why you really want to win this game if you're the 49ers is because if you don't, you're kind of back in the same spot you were against the Seahawks, where, well, now you got to beat the Cowboys because you don't want to go into the break 3-5.
I'm not worried about the Cowboys at all.
Well, you shouldn't
they're
be.
They're gonna they'll beat the Dallas Cowboys. They will outclass them at every single position.
Even
the
off
Cowboys,
a bye week, Mark.
The Cowboys are not a playoff team this year, so I'm not worried about them in the slightest. But I might see this weekend a little bit differently. I don't think it craters your season if you lose, but it's an incredible springboard if you win. Like, first of all, there's two sides to this. There's the mental side. There's the football side. The guys have basically stated it. Fred Warner said it. George Kittle said it. This game's different. They feel like they need to get over this hump. That speaks to a mental disadvantage they have, and it'd be really good to shake that. But on the football side of it, you think about if you lose, then you've got to go beat the Cowboys, and you go into the bye, and you're still middling at 500. You win this football game, then you beat Dallas. Now you're sitting on the bye, 5-3 with a three-game win streak, and Christian's about to come back, and you're peacocking, man. You're as confident as anyone in the NFL. So I think it's huge from that perspective. It's not a season ender if you lose, but it's an incredible springboard if you win.
Yeah, I love that. And how much is that worth when you talk about the mental game, right? Who knows? But I told Matt Barrels, and Steiny and I had him on a couple days ago, there's no way a team that's 3-3 is playing with house money, but it's house money in regard to opportunity, Willard, because if you do exercise these demons over the Chiefs, and that propels you to 4-3, and you got a team in Dallas that's kind of limping and not handling their business, you're right, you're 5-3, but damn, if I had to pick a foe for the Niners, it would be the Chiefs, so we could jar and get those juices going of, yeah, it's not a playoff win, but we took a situation in the regular season that presented itself. We can scratch some revenge. And, you know, like you said, we're one win away from handling Dallas, 5-3 at the break, beat the Chiefs, let's go.
And I think that it really, for me, lends itself more to the idea about maybe being the number one seed still overall, because Minnesota 5-0, I get it, and you are now, what, you're 3-3, so you are a full 2.5 games behind them, plus the tiebreaker. So, yeah, Minnesota needs to fall back for you to catch them. But if you get to 5-3 at the break, then all of a sudden you're in a position where you can think about rattling off wins, and you still have a lot of tiebreaker wins for playoff position. You got Tampa, you have Green Bay, you have Detroit. So if you beat Kansas City, you feel like you still have a good chance for the number one overall. But if you lose to Kansas City and you're 3-4, even if you beat Dallas and you're 4-4 going into the bye, can you honestly think that you could be the number one overall? I don't think so. Maybe you could be the 2 or the 3, but I do think that it sets up your second half a little bit more in a difficult fashion. So, yeah, all those things, but it's, for me, more about the emotion of Kansas City, because you've lost to them 4 times in a row. And, guys, I had this trivia for Mark before. There's only one team that you've lost more games in a row to in the regular and the postseason than Kansas City. Do you know who that team is?
Over the course of their franchise or over the course of...
Currently. The current losing streak. They've lost 4 in a row to Kansas City.
I think I know.
There's one team they've lost 5 in a row against.
I like this. All right. Minnesota.
Scut-da-da-da.
I got it. Is that it?
Scut-da-da-da.
Give the bell, Grandy.
Minnesota, buzzer.
All right. How about Baltimore and the...
An AFC team.
It's an AFC team.
AFC team, Goo.
I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Baltimore? Is it Baltimore?
No. Oh. Buzzer. Still buzzer.
Damn it.
Okay, it is the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Say,
you won't get it. So we can do this.
We can
do
this. Yes, we will. No, they beat the Bills.
Broncos, Colts.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I got it. They just came and laid one on you last year.
Mark just said it.
Oh, I just said it.
It's the Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts.
They've lost 5 in a row against the Colts.
I was going to say Bengals.
Yeah.
Remember when, was it Carson Wentz that came to Levi's on a rainy night like 3 years ago?
Oh, correct.
That's right.
And the Niners were awful in that game.
It's been a minute.
The Niners have lost 5 in a row against the Colts.
Yeah.
The Colts.
Wow. Explain that one to me. That's a
Well, they used to be I mean, this is going back, I would imagine, to Peyton Manning's days.
Right, and they haven't played him in the playoffs, unlike Kansas City, where you've played him, you know, twice in the playoffs, and you played him, you know, twice. Otherwise, the Colts, you've only played him 5 times every 4 years, and, you know, one of those games, a couple of them were Peyton Manning, and you didn't beat Peyton Manning. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a weird thing, but... You know, Kansas City comes here with a 4-game win streak, and so it feels a little bit like an emotional thing to get this one, to get the sea monkey off your back.
Steiny, you were so excitedly optimistic to say Minnesota. That was funny.
I thought I had it, Mark.
Remember they came and got their butts kicked in the playoffs at Levi's just 5 years ago.
You know what? I had regular season.
Come on,
season.
Richard Sherman's interception.
Oh, no.
I had regular season at my... You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I do have a serious question for you guys, because there's about 3 questions on the Comcast Business text line. Can we assume that where you guys are at is not open to the public?
Well, it was, and it is not anymore. It is sold out.
Okay.
So
it's an event, though.
It's an event.
Wow.
You could purchase tickets. It only fits about 150 to 160 people, but those tickets have been sold. Those people are on their way. Please do not come if you do not have tickets.
Yeah.
It is full.
But they don't... Do they have an event there every Sunday?
No, okay. No. They so when I say they still do, this is literally where John and his family and I guess whoever else they wanted to invite
him
to the Macy's would like it was their family tradition.
Gotcha.
And in his passing, the family has continued that tradition. Stein, if you want to come on down here after your show, I'm sure we could get you in. And if you want to rub elbows and see if you could get invited to a Sunday, that's on the table. But that's up to you. I don't know what kind of time you have today.
Well, I know John Madden. We do have a, you know, John Madden's son, I believe, went to Brown University. And I know I have a buddy who knows him really well. Oh. So I can, hey, that's, I got strings and I can pull him.
That was a little bit of a meandering connection.
Sure.
You know Dan Dibley.
The Stein special.
Dan, it's Dan Day now.
Yeah.
Actually coached Joe Madden's son.
Yeah.
And so, like, I walked in today, and Dibs, I think, has been here since 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I got
like,
here early.
Like, schmoozing people already. So if you want, you have a much quicker chance, Steiny, if you just start being nice to Dibs.
Yeah,
Oh, boy.
Right. I know. Well, that's I don't like doing it either. But.
Yeah, it's awkward. I just want to say this, guys, because I was thinking about it on the drive over. Like, John Madden is in the all-time top 10 in three different arenas. If you look at the NFL coaching register, John Madden is number 2 all-time in win percentage. And if you look at winning percentage for coaches who have more than 100 games, he's number 1. So I don't think you can get to a top 10 in NFL coaches without including John Madden. And if you go to television broadcasters as analysts, you can't get past
number one. You can't get past number one.
I mean, Dick Vitale, John Madden, whatever you want to do.
Madden.
And then if you go to video game eponymous, Steiny, if I said it right, video game aficionados and video game people who are synonymous with their name, he's in the top one of that as well. What other human being is in the top 10 of three different arenas?
Man. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you, Dibs. I got a guy who I think could be that guy in four categories.
Oh, boy.
Talk to me.
Brad Gilbert.
Okay.
Talk to us.
Player, mm-hmm. broadcaster, instructor, and author.
Top 10, Steiny?
Winning Ugly, one of the most read tennis books in history that he wrote with Agassi.
Okay. He has this free component, though, with the video game or the shoe, the man.
Wait, you think, are you, I mean, I don't want to get into tennis talk.
I'm just
Brad Gilbert. I love Brad Gilbert.
Brad Gilbert is not a top 10 male tennis player of all time.
Not even close.
No, but what I'm saying is he has mastered four separate careers or professions almost.
I mean, I don't know if that was the question. Yeah. I've mastered four things. I'm really good at brushing my teeth. The scrambled scrambles I make in the morning are absolutely
winning ugly.
He's the top-notch author. Mess out of
He's
here.
Responsible you know I mean? For Andre Agassi's career.
Brand.
I know how to reboot my computer with the best of them.
In 82, he got as high as 7th on the world rankings.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm making that up. I'm not sure.
No, but Steiny, and I love what you're doing, and I love Brad Gilbert. Brad Gilbert sold me. He sold me my last tennis racket, but he's not. He's not a top 10 all time player.
No,
and if you want to say he's
neither
a top
John
10
Madden.
Broadcaster,
you watch your mouth.
He's a top 10 tennis coach. I will give you that. It's kind of like the old thing, Steiny, and you know the reference. If I talk about EGOT, the people who have the EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. It's called the EGOT. If you want to look at the people who have an actual EGOT, they have all four of those awards. That's what I'm talking about. And Madden is top 10 all time as a coach. He's number 1 as a broadcaster. And in video games, I'm sorry, he's the GOAT.
Oh, why? No doubt. Why if he's the four GOAT. Letters? Why if it's E, G, O, and T? Why would you not do GOAT? Why would you do EGOT?
Because GOAT was already taken.
No,
it's
not.
It's an EGOT.
Yeah,
it's an EGOT.
All right.
Hey, let me.
You don't have to like it. I'm out. Go ahead.
I'm out on EGOT.
Do your homework and see who's actually gotten the EGOT. Because among we actors and singers, that is the holy grail of acting and singing is the EGOT.
I love it.
Go ahead, Guru. Yeah.
No, Westbrook wanted to go again. Go ahead, Stoney. Go ahead. You wanted to get something.
I'm doing my Russell Westbrook. I apologize.
I just tried to jump in when I can.
I'm doing my Moses Moody right now. I'm trying to get mine.
Yep. Did you hear us earlier? I'm throwing a curveball, and I love you. Listen, I'm a nerd. I love commentators. I love watching the games back because of the back and forth that good commentators have. But the malarkey that came down with Tom Brady's 10% minority ownership and what he cannot do, he needs to resign and just say, Willard, I need to focus on my new gig, my new endeavor, which is the Raiders. But to not be able to have all that list of stuff that Burkhart and all the real ones have to do by being able to cover and sit down with the teams, and this man can't even critique the refs or what have you. What are we really doing? Are we selling out to where popularity can be that big to where we want to hear Brady when we know he's really not even doing the core essence of the job? That makes my stomach turn.
Well, I sort of felt like in the middle, and I did hear that conversation on the lovely drive to Pleasanton. I heard that conversation, and it was one of those where I'm like, Goo, you have a point, but then I don't know where it goes from there. No. Like,
man.
I told you have a point. You're not wrong. But nobody is going to march with you in this protest.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's sort of like donuts, man. Like, they're not good for you.
Willard,
we could sit here and be
Tom
like,
Brady?
You should,
am
you
I
should
hating?
Not. You should not put food in fried batter. You should not do that. That's bad for us. Let's go get 12 of them on Sunday morning. Like, nobody's going to not watch the game. Nobody's going to cry a foul about Tom Brady. And I don't even know, like, you know what I was thinking about in listening to you guys? Do we really hear a lot of that? Do we hear analysts
sometimes
in NFL games?
They'll say we sat down with Steiny,
but
you know?
Let's talk about criticizing the officials.
Oh, okay, right.
Do you ever actually hear that? Do you hear Greg Olden? You might hear him be like, well, that was a head-scratcher. Or, boy, I didn't understand that
one. Take D. Williams Thursday night. If Brady was on that call, I think he would have went in on New York. It would have been hard not to, right?
But what did we get from Herb Street? What did we get on that to that end from Herb Street?
I don't understand that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's tough. I can't believe you. I didn't think that would happen.
Right, Willard, you make some good points. Give me this. What if you're Burkhart? Do you look at Brady? Again, not hating, but damn. It must be nice you can just show up here 2 minutes before the thing when I've had to be here anchored all week, you know?
I don't know,
am I a hater, Dibs? Do I sound like I'm hating on Brady?
It's a little bit like the way they look at Trent Williams, who gets a day off every week. Trent Williams gets the veteran day because he is the veteran. And Tom Brady, he doesn't need to come in and grind like he grinds. And you know what? Burkhart is so good that he can overcome Tom Brady not being in the production meeting, and he'll go back to Tom Brady and actually show him his notes and tell him exactly what he learned in those meetings. And you know, Tom Brady is ultimately going to live and die and rise and fall based on what he does during the game. And so far, he's not been great. He'll get better.
He's getting better.
Steiny's right. He's Tom Brady. So as much as people tune in for broadcasters, and I don't believe that people actually do, you tune in because it's football, man.
Yeah.
This is not like the NBA where, I need Van Gundy and I need Mark Jackson or I need Doris Burke. The NFL, you could have AI doing it, not Allen Iverson.
Probably will.
Or Andre Iguodala. But you could have robots calling the game, and people would still be like, I love this.
I think people notice. You know, you hear people really loved Romo when he started. Now people don't like Romo. You might have opinions about it, but Dibs is right. There's nobody, I don't know anybody who's like, I'm not watching.
Yeah.
I'm not turning
Willard,
the game
Stein,
on.
Real quick, what about where you guys are at? Madden and Summerall were a staple. Like, they added to the, are you saying those
For
times
sure.
are over?
Different,
no.
Different era.
There were three channels.
I'd also say that they, like, the broadcasters can add to it, but in a way almost can't subtract. Like, you could be annoyed by him, but you're not. You're not watching the game.
Right.
You're not. And if Burkhardt has any sort of, like, jealousy toward Tom Brady, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
He's in trouble.
Yeah.
He's Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be listening. I know
all
that.
Day, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And from the Madden Studios in Pleasanton, it's going to be a fun. So you'll have a live audience.
Stan Bunger is sitting right next to us already
Stan,
now.
Yeah. Tell him what's
this
up.
This is one of those most Steiny. We would
That's
like
a
you
legend.
To
legend.
Yeah, we would like you
Dude,
to leave.
Hall of Famer.
Well, they got him on right. You see,
Hall of Famer.
Yes. You can go, Steiny.
Hey, Stan,
you
how you doing?
Stan.
I've admired your work for a
do,
long
Stan.
Time.
Yeah, no, I'm just an author now. I don't even know how many books I've sold.
Well, they've just
I'm hanging out with actual working radio talk people.
That's right.
You guys rock.
You're the man.
Right.
You're the man.
All right, well, listen, you guys have fun out there today. We'll be listening, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow on 95.7 The Game.